And as a result, by, say, 200 BC, across the peninsula, there is a certain measure of prosperity. There would be a common culture, especially binding the cities together by the use of the Greek language. In the Hellenistic period, in the 4th and 3rd century BC, Greek displaces, to a large extent, Aramaic as the commercial and administrative language of the Near East. And Greek will hold also a privileged position in literature. Anyone writing in the era after Alexander, in the Hellenistic era, will use Greek. And those of you familiar with Christian scripture will realize that Christian scripture was put immediately of the New Testament in Greek. That Jesus may have preached in Aramaic, but all the written documents we have are in Greek, and that is because Greek is now privileged as the literary language. Alexander and his successors made it so. Furthermore, the Greek cities and the Hellenized cities are very clever in coming to terms with a world dominated by great monarchies and by lesser monarchs. The way they accommodate themselves to the fact that there are these powerful monarchies is to institute what are known as ruler cults. Greek cities very often negotiated treaties with the Seleucid or the Attalid king, the king of Pontus, the Antigonid king. And what they did to maintain the illusion that they were still free allies, they were still cities enjoying their freedom and autonomy, was to give the privilege to the king and his family of being gods, enrolling them in the city pantheon. And that's okay, because they're like the heroes who established the city. They're such great figures that they're sort of like gods. This notion of ruler cults, which goes back to Alexander the Great, became a way in which Greek cities could very nicely reconcile the fact that they're in the power of these powerful monarchs. These powerful monarchs could potentially quash any one of the Greek city-states, although there's reasons they don't want to do that, and they can't do that. And so that they're in the power of these monarchs, but at the same time they can maintain the notion that they are cities, that they're independent, that they go back to the institutions of Athens in the classical age by coming up with these various ruler cults. And that meant including the names of the kings and the dedication to the gods, renaming your districts of the city after the kings, putting up statues. And in turn, the kings, desiring respectability and legitimacy, would donate, you know, gymnasiums and stoas, would sponsor festivals, all of this as an effort to show that they really were Hellenes too. And by setting up this relationship, they set up the basis for the later Roman imperial cult. And that brings me to the last point. As a result of Alexander's conquests, you have this network of Greek cities across Asia Minor, which have worked out a living arrangement with the various monarchies, but none of these cities was in any way tied to the perpetuation of those monarchies. That is, if those great kings could not defend themselves on the battlefield and went down to a rival, well, they just transferred their loyalties over to the victor. Sometimes they had to apologize if they were a little too eager in supporting one candidate over the other, and there might be some reprisals. But on the whole, you're not dealing with destruction of cities, enslaving of populations. You would fine them at most. That meant that when the Romans arrived in the Greek world, in the Hellenistic world, both in Greece and in Asia Minor, they found a series of cities that were more than willing to come to terms with Rome once the great Macedonian monarchs were defeated. And that meant that Alexander's successors, unable to match the Roman Republic, and we'll see why, handed over to the Romans this marvelous network of Greek cities, which become the basis for the imperial administration and a good deal of the civilization of the High Roman Empire. And perhaps that was, in the end, the greatest legacy that Alexander left, that cultural legacy of the Hellenic city, which assumes a new life under his successors, and especially under the Romans.
We hope you've enjoyed these lectures from our Great Courses series. Our courses are now available to order online. Visit our website at www.teach12.com or call our customer service representatives at 1-800-TEACH-12. That's 1-800-TEACH-12. Thank you very much.